Amen. Praise God. So this is something that I've really felt impressed. You know, we're in a fast time. Everybody doing good with your fast? I'm like Levi. I have a whole bunch of reserves here to go from. So I'm really feeling. Actually, I'm going to speak to this a little bit tonight, but I think it has something to do with the fasting time, and even in the removal of food. I don't know if you notice when you're especially when you go and have some Italian, we have what we call a carb coma that we go into, right? And it's a time, it kind of helps you sleep too, you know, but your brain kind of goes foggy, right? It's kind of goes into I've just noticed that during a time of fast, it seems like I have mental clarity more too, you know? And so I think that's something that that maybe was a part of the fasting, and we were part of our reading out of Leviticus was talking about the Day of Atonement, you know, that they were having every year, and the bulls would be sacrificed, and at the end of it, it said, "Now and I command that all of the people not do anything for a day." Not just not eat, not do anything. And that was the purpose of the Sabbath for that. But what was it allowed to take place, I believe, is for the gravity and the purpose of what was being accomplished in the purification to be absorbed without any complications, any distractions, anything else. And so, anyway, so I'd like to speak to this. I'm not sure how far I'll get into it, but I want to talk about revelation and its necessity for us to be able to move into anything in the natural. It requires revelation, and I want to speak to what revelation actually is. It's not just the reception of information. It's when it actually becomes applicable, when you're actually doing something with it, right? So I had an experience today, and I thought this is such a great example. Braden was going to a charter school until COVID hit. Right? And so good to see you guys. We're going to talk about Revelation here. Not the book, but, you know, being able to see. So Braden was, we pulled him out of this charter school. And they tried to do the online thing, you know, where the teacher would, you know, and man, it just did not work at all. So we pulled him out of everything and started doing this online homeschooling thing. Well, the problem with that, and we found this out with Hunter too, is it's like, man, you gotta, they can let on to you that they're doing everything, but really stuff's not going quite like it should, you know? Anyway, I'll take that on me. It's on me. Anyway, I started to deal with that a little bit today with regard to some math stuff. And in the past, I like math really well, and I can see it in my head, but I've had this with Hayden. I think I did this with my brother. When I would try to teach him, it's like, what we have here is a failure to communicate, right? Like, you know, and frustration rises, and you know, I mean, some simple kind of, you know, you get into algebra, and so there's ways of being a good instructor in this, and I think God helped me today with Braden, with some things, and it's like I had to get through some of the frustration and stuff, but so I'm going through this problem, and I tried to break it down into steps. Because I think math is kind of that way. If you get lost in the steps, you can kind of get out of order, and so you can't figure it out. I'm talking to a teacher here, she can help me probably better than I can. But anyway, what I was doing, I was going through this, and I'm saying, see, you do this, and then you do this, and then you know, this is the next step you take. Okay, now what are you? And he says, Poppy, I don't understand anything you're saying. I was telling him exactly how to do it. But I kept going through it, and I said, okay, what's the next step? What's the next step? And as long as he's just watching me do it, he's not going to get it. And I was telling him exactly how to do it, and it was just not, he was hearing it. But I took one problem and I just kept going through the same steps on it. Okay, this is what we do. What's the next step? What's the next step? And you know, we kept going through it until finally there was revelation. And he actually came down later and he said, Poppy, I'm getting pretty good at math. You know? I said, yeah, praise God. But that's how it is with everything. And especially, I think, with the things of God. And this is my prayer on a Sunday morning. You know, I'm going to present everything the best I can, you know. But until there's revelation of the truth from God, it's just empty information. I thought about, what's his name? Charlie Brown. See, I was testing y'all. See if you that's a trivia question. Right? What's happened? Why do they do that? Because these kids don't care a thing about what the teacher's saying, right? Mwah, 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 mwah. And I think, man, this hits home to me because, you know, I'm getting revelation about God during this fast time. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I've heard this stuff before, but if we know anything about God, it's just a tiny bit. Amen? And there's so much more to go towards. And everything that we will get, be able to move forward with God, is dependent upon revelation. And it's beyond what we can just figure out ourselves. It's beyond just listening to somebody else. It's going to require, and when revelation really happens, it's when you can do the problem yourself. Amen? When it's no longer just knowing what the scriptures are, but actually applying them. Amen? So let's look at this. Revelation, and so this is my little definition of revelation, because we'll see this. All right? I might have to stretch this out, but I'll get as much as we can tonight, all right? The heart response from an entrance of truth's understanding. I know you never heard it described that way before. But until there's a response, how do we believe God for anything? With the heart you believe, and then you respond, right? There's no response. The truth has come, but there's no revelation, okay? There's going to be a response with not just truth's arrival, but its understanding. And then you do something with it, okay? So let's look at Proverbs 29:18. I want to look first at the necessity of revelation. We've kind of seen it already. If you're going to learn math, you've got to get some revelation, right? But from a teacher better than I used to be. Okay. It's essential for survival. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, no revelation of God in his word, the people are unrestrained. I think one translation says they perish, right? That means you just run around with just doing whatever pops into your mind. It's kind of like Braden. He said, what I don't like about math is you make me do it. It's like, no, really, the thing about math is it's essential for other stuff. You tell me you like science. You tell me you like, you know, these other things. You have to have math for this. Right? I said, otherwise, you just kind of do whatever you want to do. You're made to do all kinds of stuff. Otherwise, you just kind of go around doing whatever you want to do, right? And what's the end of that? A precipice, right? You're going to fall off the edge of something, right? And we were talking about, I said, you know, they're such brilliant people. And he said, I like to study about people and how they're so. He started to tell me the difference between us and the apes, you know. The apes can't build stuff, you know. And I said, yeah, and you know what's really so sad is that there's so many people with all the capabilities that never do anything with it. That they have the same kind of mind God gave them, but they don't get revelation on math and the things that they're going to need to actually develop who they've been made to be, right? So that's what happens if you don't have revelation. Not just vision, but revelation. Amen? The people are unrestrained, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the law. What does that mean? He doesn't just hear something, he does something with it. Amen? So to me, that's a little bit of a definition of revelation, isn't it? You don't just hear something, but man, you actually understand it to the point where you are not going to do anything but what it says to do. Amen? All right, let's go to the next one. Deuteronomy 29:29. It's essential, isn't it? The possession of God's will for God-blessed life. I saw this at the end of the law, right? The law is being presented, and he says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Aren't you grateful for this? You know, this is so good to know that we don't have to figure everything out. And this is what happens. I mean, I had two sisters pass away, you know, and I don't like to magnify that, but you do go through these things. And you're going through them with the knowledge that you do have, the revelation that you do have. And you get to the end of that, and you don't give up and say, well, I guess my revelation wasn't true. You say, no, there's some things that are beyond what we're going to understand. In fact, Brother Hagin said that. He said, you know, when these things happen, you just say, well, this is not something that I will understand, and I'm going to leave it in God's hands. It's a secret that I don't necessarily have to have. But that doesn't mean I give up on revelation, though. Amen. In fact, God will give me a way of actually understanding that, and I believe I do have some understanding with that. I was talking to God about that recently. I said, well, what, you know. Anyway, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong to us. And I like the understanding. This is why I made this, I made this statement this way. The possession of God's will. I think this is a really great perspective to have of what we get from the Word of God. It's not just something that's out there that's coming at us. We embrace it as ours. Amen? Because in it is the potential, when you take possession of it, for it actually to become revelation that guides your whole life, that enables your whole life. Amen? That no longer do you have to be a math dummy. You can be an Einstein, right? Okay. That's what I told Braden. I said, man, you're a genius now, math genius. And to our children forever. Isn't this wonderful? That now it's your heritage that's taking place with this too. And you can expect it and you can put a demand upon it. That this revelation that I'm getting is being imparted to my children too. I'm having an effect upon them. That we may all do all of the words of this law. When I'm thinking about that, I'm not thinking about the details and the demands of the law in the way that's going to be detrimental or restricting. Did you know that the ways of the law, the will of God, is the most liberating thing that we can have in our life? Amen? Amen? That's why Jesus came to not do away with it, but to fulfill it. Because there's so much to fulfill in the will of God. Amen? When you make it your own and you turn it from something besides just something that's apart from you to who you are, it becomes revelation. Okay? So, this is why it's so necessary to have revelation, because we get into the heart of God that affects our life. One more here. It's by revelation that we know him and live in him. 1 John 5:20. And we have seen and know positively that the Son of God has actually come to this world and has given us understanding and insight progressively. Don't you like all these things that the Amplified, the female version of this, provides for us? To perceive, recognize, and to come to know better and more clearly him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This man is the true God and life eternal. So how does that come, though? You have to have revelation of that, don't you? Isn't this sad how many people in the world today have heard the truth of the gospel, but until they get revelation of it? Amen? And what is it that requires that? Now, what I want to challenge us with this is that we're not done. Amen? There's so much more to go to. Okay, so how does this revelation come? And I'm going to challenge us on some things a little bit with this, okay? But we're going to start off, first of all, here. Entrance into hell defeating. Man, I said that word, didn't I? Revelation. Aren't you glad you can say that when you're talking about bringing the gates of hell down, right? Entrance into hell defeating revelation. The identity of Christ by the Spirit. So I'm thinking everything else that we're going to get in Revelation about God, and I think this is why a fasting time is so important, so essential, is that I don't want to just bypass the most essential thing to be getting revelation of. I think before anything pops up as a light bulb, it's going to be that Jesus is the Christ. Amen? And I was thinking about that while we were singing this, because we sang Who You Are on that song. Waymaker, miracle worker, all these kinds of things. I don't know about you, but I know him a little bit, but I don't know him completely. Amen? And even in approaching his will and the revelation that I want to have of him, he's got to be foremost in that. Amen? Any revelation I'm going to get that's going to liberate me, even in my heart and my life, is going to come first in this revelation of him. And so this is, let's read Matthew 16:15. Then he asked them, "Who do you think I am?" So what did Jesus first ask them? He said, "Who do people say I am?" Right? What is this? This is essential. You can't go anywhere beyond the revelation of who. And what's so amazing to me, he's actually asking them who they say he is, as if they might not know. Is that right? And what did he do? Remember what he said. your heart kind of goes out to Jesus, what he was going through. Remember when he fed the 5,000? And then shortly after that, he said, by the way, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, and after having thousands of people following him, all of a sudden they're scattering, you know. Like cockroaches when you turn the light on. No, I'm just kidding. And he said, what did he say to his disciples after that? He said, so are y'all going to leave me too? Because to stay and to become a disciple and for it to actually change your life and be willing to lay down your life, it takes more than just information. And we're going to see it takes more than just an experience too. Sometimes I've thought, you know, if we could just have the move of God, people getting healed and everything, you know what? That doesn't bring change in people's lives. Because it requires revelation of who Christ is and who he is in you. Amen? And that will precede everything else. All right. So he asked them, "Who do you think I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "The Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And God has blessed you, Simon, son of Jonah, Jesus said. "For my Father in heaven has personally revealed this to you." This is not from any human source. Isn't this cool? And this goes back real quickly to my experience in college, taking a modern religion course from a rabbi. I love these rabbis in our school. We had, anyway. Some of you heard me say this before, but they presented all the religions, you know, Hinduism and Buddhism and all these different isms, and then Christianity. All, they just kind of put them all in the same, and this is a rabbi teaching this, but that's what's kind of interesting about Judaism is they're really kind of stoic in some ways. But anyway, and there's different divisions of them. So anyway, but man, it started to challenge me in my heart. I'm thinking, sheesh, what I believe is just like everything else. It's just a story. Except for I know him in my heart. Amen? And my revelation is not just about, and what's really cool about this, everything else in the Word comes through Him. Amen? And the knowledge of Him. So I wasn't done here, was I? Okay. My Father in heaven has personally revealed. Man, this needs to be something that anything we're getting from God, it's coming by the Spirit, isn't it? And it's no small thing. And the more we treasure it, the more we make a big deal about it, the more effect it's going to have for us. Amen? So I was thinking about this while we were singing that song. Waymaker, that is who you are. I'm thinking, God, I need revelation of who you are. Amen? And that's what we hunger and thirst after more every day. Because everything else that we're going to move into, in His provision, in His will, and everything else, is upon this foundation. Look at this. You are Peter, a stone, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the powers of hell shall not prevail against it. Man, I thought I was putting the Amplified version of this. And the Amplified version, I think, says, creates a foundation upon which everything else will be able to be laid. Amen? And that's how I see that. And I will give you, and so here's what comes with that. The revelation of who He is comes with keys. Amen? Of the kingdom of heaven, whatever doors you lock on earth shall be locked in heaven. And whatever doors you open on earth shall be opened in heaven. Talk about some revelation necessity. To actually walk in that. He said, I'm giving you the keys. I'm giving you the authority. Based upon what? The revelation of who Christ is and who He is in you. Amen? But sometimes I think we can stop there and not go on into the authority that we've been given. But the more you get into Him, the more you get into who He is in you, the more it will take you to your authority, to your effect in the world around you. Amen? So, then He warned the disciples and told them not to tell anybody that He was the Messiah. It's like, okay, let's keep going. John 8:31. Revelation comes from responding to, not just hearing the Word. So how many love to hear the Word? How many love to listen to teaching? How many love to do? And you know what? It's really good. But it can become, if you're not doing something with it, it's mwah, mwah, mwah. Even though you might have your ears tickled and you might like it, and you might like the personality when presenting it, it's not revelation until it's application. Amen? So John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, what are you doing? You're doing something with it, right? And live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. That verse people usually don't like to include in this next one, do they? And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's a whole lot of people that assume to know truth, and they do not look free, they do not look happy, they do not look liberated, because it's not being applied, it's not being lived, it's not being operated in. Is that right? So here is the evidence of revelation. And I was thinking about this. With revelation comes freedom. Amen? And we're going to see what it actually looks like is, again, not just heard information, but applied. Okay? All right, Ephesians 1:15. Beyond serving in faithfulness. So this is how revelation is coming, right? Beyond serving and faithfulness, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So Ephesians 1:15, this is such a wonderful passage, isn't it? Talking about the prayer of Paul for us. I just claim it is for me, right? But he's talking to people, and what I think is really cool about this, he's talking to us, and I believe this is we're the choir here tonight. We're faithful, right? We're into God and everything. We're serving in the church. We're being faithful, right? And yet he still sees a need. for revelation. It's not just about our faithfulness to serve. It's not just about our faithfulness in the kingdom. It's not how much we devote our prayer time even, I believe, right? Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, what is that? That means you're doing stuff, right? You're being a wonderful person in the body. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, they could have almost been offended by that. You mean I don't have the wisdom and revelation already? I think it's a continual desperation. Amen? And as soon as you turn off the need for it, you turn off the capacity for it. There needs to be a continual, I have to have this. Amen? Because he says, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So just the knowledge of him is not enough. Just the 12 series teaching is not enough. There has to be an addition of a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is revelation, right? That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I think Paul was maybe, he just got done singing, "That is who you are," right? He's so impressed. He says, man, y'all are really wonderful. I've heard really wonderful things about you. But man, I am praying that you will get a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. No offense. I believe you may have already have received one, but there's more for you. Amen? Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Shooey! There's some revelation necessity in there. And he put all these things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you know, later on in Ephesians it says, and you are seated there with him. How many need a spirit of wisdom and revelation for this? Amen? I'm grateful that the Spirit has come. Oh, but let me not get ahead of myself. Are y'all good? Yeah. All right. Revelation comes when truth guides, not just arrives. Ooh, I like this. Okay? So I almost got ahead of myself, but it was the next one, so I'm good. All right? So I'm grateful that Jesus went away so the Spirit of truth could come to be inside of us. And what is the comfort? He said he's a comforter, right? What's he doing? Comfort isn't just saying, you're all right the way you are. I'm just going to hug you and give you a nice... No, it's revelation, isn't it? Comfort is revelation. But he hasn't come to just bring truth. He hasn't come to just reside. He hasn't just arrived to be a Spirit of truth. He's come to guide. Until there's a following to his guiding, there's no really revelation taking place. Is this right? It's like the term, you know, if you consider yourself to be a leader and nobody's following you, you're just going for a walk. Is that right? That's why Jesus said, follow me in so many different ways, right? Why? Because until you're following, you don't really believe. You're not really going with it. Amen? So I'm not getting into the weeds on all this stuff. We can fill in the blanks, right? But I see this necessity for there to be even revelation in what we're talking about right now. Amen? John 16:13. When the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes, he shall guide you into all truth. For he will not be presenting his own ideas, but will be passing on to you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. So what are we getting in the Holy Spirit? We're getting, and what did Jesus say, upon this revelation of Christ? Well, we're getting by the Spirit that's going to guide us everywhere we go. What did Jesus say? I'm going to be with you. be of good cheer, whatever you're going through, because I'm going to be with you. That takes revelation in the moment. And the Spirit has come to do that. Amen? So what we're doing is not any time on our own. It's the Holy Spirit bringing revelation of the very heart and the will of Jesus himself for us. Right? So what does it require, though? It requires some movement on our part. That revelation equals response to an understood truth. Amen? Okay, so here's some inhibitors I just want to touch on real quick. Revelation inhibitors, then. An experience in God doesn't equal revelation. Okay, Mark 8, 14 through 21. But the disciples had forgotten to bring any food. This was after the feeding of the several thousand, right? They had only one loaf of bread with them in the boat. As they were crossing the lake, you would think, you know, after you saw that demonstration of what God, Jesus could do with loaves, that they wouldn't get depressed about one loaf in the boat, would you? As they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod." At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus was trying to teach them about something, and all they could think about was bread, not having enough of it. Their tummies were growling, right? Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "Why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? Have you eyes? Can't you see?" He's talking about revelation. Did you not get any revelation of the experience that you had right there participating in this miracle that I performed? Right? They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, did they? But Jesus is still a little frustrated with them. Did you know that Jesus is operating in the same with the same tools as they had, though? He didn't have like what we have today. He wasn't operating as the Son of God. He was operating as a man, wasn't he? If not, it wasn't legitimate what he was doing. When I fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterward? 12, they said. And when I fed the 4,000 with seven loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 7, they said. Don't you understand yet? He asked them. So this means I don't just need an encounter with the power of God for revelation. Amen? I need cooperation with his will coming from belief in him. Amen? He needs me to be a part of the operation. Praise God. All right. Failing to respond and own what is heard. Luke 8, 18. So these are some of the things that, man, if we're not doing these, revelation isn't flowing, right? So pay careful attention to your hearts as you hear my teaching. For to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. What's he talking about? A progressive revelation. How many have had some revelation? Ooh, it's such a great responsibility to have some revelation. Because what you're doing with what you have will determine what you get yet. Right? Until it overflows. He says, and for those who do not listen with open hearts, which would be they're not responding with the heart, right? What little light they imagine to have will be taken away. That means even the revelation that we have from God, it's so important what we're doing with it on a continual basis. Or else it will be devalued to the point where we don't even have it anymore. But when you're looking at it like it's a great thing. How many have some revelation that, man, this is a treasure in my life? Amen? What the enemy wants to do is wants to diminish its value to the point where you're not doing anything with it. And you disable your ability to see further revelation. Is that right? Okay, here's another one. Resistance to acting on what is heard. I mean, I've been harping on this a lot. Let me see what else I got. Are y'all good? All right, I got 2 minutes. I can read fast. Y'all okay with me talking fast tonight? All right. Okay, this is a critical part here. Romans 10:16. But not everyone who hears the good news has welcomed it. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed me when I told them? You sound like a preacher that people aren't doing anything with, right? They're just living the way they want to live. Yet faith comes. How many are familiar with this passage? Faith comes from listening to this good news, the good news about Christ. And a lot of people want to just say, all you need to do is hear. And the scripture where this is brought from, faith comes by hearing, it's in the middle of describing people that didn't do anything with faith that came. So it wasn't really revelation. Just hearing is not going to cause you, you know, I think it's necessary. It's like with Braden, it's like I had to keep going through the problem, keep going through it, because every time he's getting a little bit more of an opening. So it's necessary to keep hearing, but not if you're not doing it. Otherwise, it just passes by you and actually gets devalued. And that's what happened in Israel, wasn't it? But what about the Jews? Have they heard God's word? Yeah. For it has gone wherever they are. The good news has been told to the ends of the earth. And did they understand that God would give his salvation to others if they refused to take it? Yeah. For even back in the time of Moses, God had said that he would make his people jealous and try to wake them up by giving his salvation to the foolish heathen nations. And later on, Isaiah said boldly that God would be found by people who weren't even looking for him. In the meantime, he keeps on reaching out his hands to the Jews. But they keep arguing and refusing to do what? Follow. To do what he said. So, faith comes by hearing, but revelation doesn't. Revelation comes by acting on the word of God. Amen? And that's where our power lies. Okay. Walking away from its vision. James 1:22. But I don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only foolish yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. This is actually, in the context of Revelation, I think this is a really good perspective. So when you're looking at the word of God, it can look clear while you're looking in the mirror. But the way you keep the word of God clear is when you're doing it. Because now it's taking on an image. Every time you're acting on it, you're actually taking the revelation of it where you go. If not, the revelation dims, just like your vision of yourself in the mirror. Does that make sense? You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, isn't that if part is so critical, isn't it? And don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Amen? All right. I've got one more. And this is the Amplified version, so blame it on the Amplified. Okay. By the Spirit is God enabling revelation with unlimited possibilities. I want to end on this because, man, let's be encouraged about the depth of what's available to us. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. What's been prepared for us. Let me read this. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared and made and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Isn't this good to read this amplified version of this in this context? Amen? Because it goes into the core of everything that we're about. We can't help but respond to what it is. And he says, the depths of it is beyond what anybody could ever. And it goes on and says, though, it's not going to be withheld from us, though, if it becomes our pursuit. Not just to know something about God, but to know how to respond to what he reveals to us. Amen? Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels, and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. Ha ha. Isn't this good? You know, I was thinking about this in the context of what we have in God, and you know, all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen, right? It's easy to say that and to say, yes, that's a wonderful song. There's songs about it. But in each promise is a revelation that is not just there for us. It's there to become an activation. And it's not really revelation until we're doing something about it, until we're walking in it. Amen? Endless possibilities. But here's the cool thing about eternity. It's like the scripture that says we see through a glass darkly now, but then we're going to see stuff more. Amen?